On this episode of Stutter Loading, man, 2020 can just go die in a ditch. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I am your host, Josh Koval, and today's episode, it is the final episode of 2020, this godforsaken year. God just abandoned us, and it really shows. But with me, as he was with me last year, TJ from The Hotter Show is joining me to do a 2020 retrospective for both of our shows, and I promise you it's going to be a lot less circle jerking than last year's was.
What's up, buddy?
It's been a while. Actually, the last time we recorded an episode together was the Podbeard crossover with the No Geeks Allowed for the quarantine episode back in like March or April.
Yeah, it was March. Yeah, like March 18th or 19th or somewhere around there. somewhere in that ballpark.
Actually, you know what? To kind of just get right into it, we should talk about the Podbeard Network.
Yeah. Quite simply, folks, I haven't really spoken about it at all. This is the first and only time I'm going to speak about it. Podbeard Network has now been laid to rest. It's all good. Everything's fine. It's not really a humongous deal. It's basically just something that what I initially did when I started it, it kind of turned into something else that it wasn't. And for lack of a better term, it kind of sort of failed miserably. So I just finally said, okay, when it's just going to be, there's just two people left on it, you know?
Yeah.
Just me
yeah.
and Josh holding it down. And I was like, okay, you know what? I was already like, okay, this is just getting sad. And, you know, so I just kind of said, okay, let's just.
It happens.
Quietly, it was
good while it lasted. And yes, it doesn't mean that definitely. It's not going to come back. It's just at the moment, it was just me and you pretty much, because everyone else either unfortunately had stuff to do, their life got in the way or whatnot. And honestly, 2020 just got in the way. This year has been the year from hell, to put it mildly.
Screw this year.
And it's weird for me to say that, because honestly, this has been one of my best years in terms of content for my show. But I feel weird being happy about that when the year itself has been such shit.
Well, that's the interesting thing about it, is like when I speak with people who have had relatively good years, all things considered, I've had a somewhat okay year. Like, I've had some pretty good stuff happen to me this year, but like, you know, the fucking world's on fire. So it's like, how can we say, oh yes, let's talk about all these great things that happened, and let's talk about, you know, this great content and all this stuff, and you've killed it this year and you've had some great growth. So it's like, it's a little hard to kind of, you know, be happy about it and talk about it in such a high regard when, you know,
it just, you feel guilty about and being happy about your accomplishments when there's so much else going wrong in the world. I mean, it's good to be proud of your accomplishments, but at the same time, I just feel a tinge of, not regret, but definitely a tinge of guilt being like happy about stuff. And it's not to say that my year hasn't had other downsides. It just, by comparison, I feel it's nowhere near what everyone else has to go through between all the protests for racial injustice that's been going on. And then on top of that, you know, the people losing jobs because of the pandemic and being cooped up because of the pandemic. And I've been fortunate. My job, I never lost my job. I could still work. I was able to work from home for a few months. I'm back at the office now, but I feel guilty that I actually had a pretty decent year, all things considered. The biggest thing for me is my, without going into too much detail, just because I think I mentioned it on Instagram a while ago, but my grandparents passed away this year. The last remaining ones on my parents' side, or my mom's side. So that I mean, that's still a little raw. I still get emotional. I'm actually getting a little emotional, getting a little misty-eyed right now thinking about it. But other than that, like, my year has been relatively good, and I just feel really fucking guilty for enjoying it.
Well, and I think the thing is, too, is, like, a lot of people I speak with recently, especially, like, you gotta really try to focus on the positives. Especially at a time like this, I'm really trying really, really hard to focus on the positives right now, because there is so much bad and there's so much negativity and there's so many people who are just so angry all the time because, I mean, especially in the entertainment world, you know, that's kind of like my thing, you know, and I speak with bands and stuff like that. And there's a band that in particular, I know that, like, this was their year. They put everything they had into this year. They have not. They've got, like, they have to completely regroup, and it's like, hey, we had a tour booked. We put money into it. They bought a van. Like, this was their year. This was their, we're gonna push this year, and they're like, we don't know what we're gonna do. We got nothing left. And it breaks just my
brutal.
Heart.
It's, you know? Brutal. Yeah. It's been an absolutely brutal year, but we don't want to dwell on the negative. Like you said, yes. We do want to focus on the positives. And this, for this episode, beside last year, we just kind of talked. We went into some deep psychology last year.
We did, like, right out of the gate. It was like the first 10 minutes. Right into it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Hey, it was good. It was a good concept. I like those kinds of deep conversations. I never mind that. But it was just kind of like listening back. I was like, oh my God, we like wasted no time. We just went right into, like, well, this is what's wrong with my brain. And
this is what's wrong with my brain. Psychoanalyzing each other, you know? Yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
Well, and it's not to say that we shouldn't still kind of have those kinds of conversations. But I think 2020 just, it's, everyone's had such a rough year. Let's try to keep it light. It's been a year. That's literally all I can say about it. But
it's been a year.
It's been a year. Been a year.
Murderer.
But so what I wanted to kind of talk about is just, what are some of our favorite episodes that we did this year personally? Because, like I said, we said before, it's a retrospective. Like, what did you enjoy about our show specifically this year? And what are the things that we wish we could have done better? I can tell you personally, one of the things I wish I would have done better, and I'm going to try to keep this, my own constructive criticism, to a minimum, because, you know, I think I even mentioned it last year, like, people don't like to hear someone rag on themselves all that much.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to keep this brief. When I was doing a lot of the interviews this year, which I'm very happy with, I had a lot of fantastic interviews this year. I noticed I would give a lot of personal anecdotes to try to relate more to the person I'm interviewing. And I even mentioned this in 2019 and I didn't learn my lesson, but there was chunks of it that no one has heard on the episode, because I cut out like a 10 minute chunk in the Sissy Jones episode of the first one, just some bullshit. I'm like, what was I talking about? I don't even understand how this relates to the topic at hand. So towards the end of the year, I got better at that. I would say in, like, my Mike Micah interview episode, my first game developer, I got better at that. So that was a negative that I saw, and I kind of started to work towards it. So I'm pretty happy with that. I don't know if this is interesting to listeners. If it is not, once again, just let us know. Give us some feedback on it. But I don't know. I like hearing that behind the scenes stuff for other podcasts. So I figured I'd kind of give a little behind the scenes of, like, my thought process for mine.
Well, put it this way, as a fan, as a legit fan of yours, I like hearing this. So I don't care what your listeners want. I want to hear about it. So,
that was not my least favorite episode, but it was something where I was just kind of like, ah, oh, man, that's
a learning.
I need to do better. I can do better. I know I can, and I will do better. So I'm going to continue to work on that. But as for favorite episodes, my personal favorites, and I remember you complimented this one a while ago, but one, it was my first Sissy Jones episode, and the second one was great too, but the first one, just because it's the first time I had a voice actor on, which was just...
That was great.
Yeah. Blows my mind. But my other favorite episode is the one I did with my wife on Stardew Valley. That was definitely my favorite episode.
So good.
What about you, sir? What were some of your favorite episodes that you did this year?
Well, there's two for sure that stand out that I have to mention. One of which was an interview that I did that I have been wanting to do for a long time. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I said last year, and we're going to touch on this probably a little bit more later, but one thing I said last year that I wanted to improve on this year was I wanted to reach out to at least one guest that I was going to be nervous to talk to. And for me, that guest was a guy by the name of Hoogie. And mm-hmm. Hoogie on the Road, he is a touring guitar tech, bass tech. I've been following his career basically since 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. And I'm a legit fan of his. And he's currently, well, he was touring with Shinedown at the time. If you guys are familiar with Shinedown, he's the bass tech. And I got linked up with him through Mean Beard. And
shout out.
Yes.
Sponsor. And, well, your sponsor.
Yes. I mean, it could be your sponsor too. You know, you just keep
I don't growing have that. Much of a beard, dude. I can't just even
keep growing that. So yeah, listen, man, it's not the beard. It's the attitude. You well, are I don't mean. Have that. Either. I can tell you that. No, you are 100%. Mean is a state of mind. It's a positive, aggressive attitude, sir. It's not.
That's mean not, is not how I was raised to believe the word mean.
Yeah, see, but it means something different now.
Oh, it means. That's
the whole point. Yeah, it means different. Something different now, sir. Positive, aggressive attitude, bro. That's what it's all about. Positive. Stand up for something, that's so like on
the,
and so forth.
That's the new version of passive aggressive. It's positive aggressive. You are so fucking handsome.
A lot of people don't understand that, and it's like I have to like explain it so much, and I'm like,
You just say anyway, really positive things angrily. You are so silly. No, it's like looking.
Anyway, so yeah, Mean Beard, shout out to Woo Woo. I got hooked up with Hoogie through them, big fan of his, and I got to interview him. And man, let me tell you, I don't get nervous a lot about with interviews. Even if I don't know the person, like I don't get nervous anymore. I used to, but this one was like, it was a big deal for me. And he's someone I have so much respect for, and I am such a fan of his, and he was so cool. It was such a great chat. He had some great stories, and it was just was really, really fun. From that interview, also, another person I need to give a shout out to for a great interview this year was a guy by the name of Tyler Boone, who is a singer-songwriter from California with some serious traction, badass guy. And he actually hit me up and was like, hey, I want to be on your show. I like your style. And I was
really?
Like,
really? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. I was like, oh, because he heard me with Hoogie. He knows Hoogie. So he was like, I really like your interviewing style. I'd like to talk to you. And I was like, cool. And he offered me a sponsorship with his bourbon company, which unfortunately is not available in Canada at the moment. So I was like, oh, I would kill to have some Boone's bourbon.
I mean, you could still do the sponsorship, but just say, it's kind of weird because I can't get it, but you all well,
that's,
should
Yeah,
buy
that's
it.
More my thing. I was like, buddy, like 70% of my listenership is in Canada. So it's like, I don't know if it's going to be worth it for you to do. We're going to do it one day for sure though, because it's coming. But those are two for sure that stand out to me. One, I got to give an honorable mention to real quick. I had Sam on the podcast again. This was definitely my favorite one of the whole year. I had her on for an Ask Sam Anything, which was literally people sending questions for her. There was some hilarious. Oh yeah, dude, like just like, she was pretty good, like because she started off so nervous, right? Like she's like, oh my god, I sound like a bitch. I'm like, no, you sound nervous. Like it's just, she's not used to it. It's not like when you had Courtney on, it was like, well, she's like a natural. She just right away totally was vibing and was
she
just
was
totally
nervous
into
too
it.
She was, I mean, you couldn't, because I don't do video component, so you couldn't see her face. I think if I would have done video, she would have been a lot more nervous. But yeah, she was very, very nervous when I recorded with her. So I'm glad it didn't come across in the audio, but trust me, she was very kind of like bottled up, like very kind of tightened up like this. And you know, she's just, she was just very anxious, and I could kind of see it. And when she would speak, it was a lot more like almost asking, like, is this okay that I say this? It wasn't strange, but I could kind of get that vibe. And I'm like, no, it's you be you. Like, that's all
do
that matters
thing.
To me.
That's money.
Exactly.
I'm telling you right now, you can tell her again that TJ said, listen.
Spilling the tea with Courtney?
Spilling the tea, I will fund it, okay? Like, seriously.
I mean, we just go to Anchor again for free. You don't need to give us money.
You know. No. I'll fund it on Anchor. Don't worry about it.
No.
I'll be your manager. It's fine.
I do want to do that at some point. Honestly, once... the, you know, once the new year, maybe that, that might be an option for, that's no guarantee. We're not, we haven't even talked about it, but mm-hmm. she might have some more or less time. I don't know. We'll see how the new year's, we'll explain, I'll explain why I'm unsure about that.
Yeah. Your new year's going to be interesting. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
At the end, at the end of the episode.
Definitely. But that was one episode for me that was just like really special. And then there's just one more I want to give a quick shout out to. There was tons of great episodes this year. I was blessed to have so many really, really great episodes. The episode I actually did with my boys in Judgment, I did an interview with them. It was a video interview. It was the first time I did this type of style. That was like, I had like a border and everything. I just put a little bit more work into it. Jason from Jay Bridges Larts. Mm-hmm. Wearing his shirt. He went out of his way. Hoodie. Well, that's cool too, though.
I'm a gritizen.
I'm decked out in sponsors every time, bro. I'm a whore. So I am easy.
You I know. Send me stuff. That's all of your Facebook it. Posts. Every single one is like, bro. it's a mean beard sponsor. I'm like, all right, I don't have a beard, so I'm just going to move on.
Every post. It's either, it's one of these four things. It's either podcasting stuff. It's mean beard, it's me sharing a sponsor, or it's like my cats, basically. There's no in between.
What about your fiance?
Well, that too. Five things. Yeah. It's one of those five things. There's never anything
I like else. How you forgot your fiance on your list.
Listen, you're trying to get me in trouble. No, but the reason that episode was so special, on top of the fact it was just a really great chat, that was the last episode that I recorded with my cat, Steve, who we just had to put down on mid-November.
I'm still sorry to hear that, man. Oh,
thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. What's actually kind of funny, guys, I'm not going to lie to you right now. Right now, both my other cats are sitting to my left here, and they never usually do when I record. So it's kind of warming my heart right now, I'm not going to lie. Because he used to sit right over there. Steve did. And that was the last episode the day before we put him down. And he had a really good day that day. So, like, he was chilling. And it was just, like, really, you know what I mean? Like, just, I didn't think anything of it at the time. But now it's like, okay, that episode's going to be special for me forever for that reason.
And which episode was it again?
That was episode 273. I had the band Judgment on. And it was a great chat. Like, it was so much fun. They're great guys. They were great guests. But I had tons of great guests and great interviews this year. But just that one was special for that reason. And yeah, I guess the only other thing I kind of want to make sure I mention, because it was funny, and actually you're kind of related to this too. For Halloween, I did a paranormal story readings that people sent into the show. And the reason why Josh is connected to this is because last year I did a one for Christmas, like horror stories, which I am doing again this year, by the way.
Okay.
Which, so if you guys haven't heard that, go back and check it out. I dropped
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the week the of time Christmas. We're recording this, it's actually December earlier. 5th. So we're yo, there's still a,
there's kayfabe. Just kill. I wasn't gonna say it was this early, but it's
No. It's there were. I like breaking that illusion early on, so no one, everyone well, knows exactly what they're getting.
I'm like, okay, today. I'm like, I know I have time. I know we can get it done. Let's just do it, so that like, yeah, I don't let you down later in the month.
No, dude, don't worry about it. We're recording this a month out from the end of the year, just because it's been a crazy year, and also I have a lot of other recording I'm going to be doing this month.
Yeah, you got a lot going on
once again at the end of the episode.
Yes.
But sorry, finish what you were saying.
I was just gonna say, but the reason why Josh is connected to that is because with the Christmas one I did last year, he listened to it and he gave me some really good constructive feedback where he said, you know, hey, it was good, but maybe pay more attention to how you read certain things. It's just you're using the exact same voice throughout the whole thing. And I was like, okay. Yeah, I was like, okay, like, yeah, because I had this voice I really liked. And a lot of people who don't podcast and they'll do voice work were like, oh my God, like, it's so good. But this year when I did it, I kept that in mind. So when I did like reactionary stuff, I did it in like a normal voice. Like, you know, someone's on the phone and someone asked them a question, I said it in a normal voice. So it just made it that much better. And I had a couple people were like, dude, that was like next level voiceover work. And I was like, thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, yeah. I guess, for, you know, busting your balls about it. But
none of the learning tree, bro. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's been great. I've had some, you know, two of the biggest guests I've ever had. I was able to crush one of my goals. I had Sam on. that episode. Some great interviews, killer stuff. You know, the Podbeard Network crossover was so much fun.
Oh my God, that was
so fun.
There's
just been a lot of really great content this year. So those are a few definitely that I want to make sure I shout out. But yeah, that the Podbeard Network crossover with the geeks was.
It's a shame because now that the Podbeard Network's over, that was the first and only.
First and only crossover.
But we didn't even get everyone on. We didn't get Sam and Ryan from Mike's and Beers on.
Yeah. I was there as a representative for Mike's and Beers.
There you go.
It never would have worked.
There have been so many people.
Well, no, it's not that. I just schedule-wise, we never would have made it happen. It would have
been really difficult. Ever.
I would have had to have literally basically driven to get them, brought them back here, and linked up with you guys to make it happen. That's how bad the scheduling is. So, yeah.
Anyway. I was pleasantly surprised. A lot of my goals. I mentioned at the end of the year I had a big project, and it was the summer of PS2. As
all, yes, I was so excited for that.
It happened. I got it done. I was really happy at that. I think that was the only real goal that I had, but it fucking happened. the only other goal that I also had that it didn't happen was what I mentioned before, where I tend to ramble too much in my interviews, which. Been fixing as time goes on, but still it's something I'm you know, like I said, gotta work on it.
And you get better with stuff too, right? Oh, like that's 100%. One thing I said to you last year, like if there's one thing that I kind of I guess learned this year in a way was the confidence in myself, number one, as a interviewer, and also I'm like, hey, like I'm pretty good at this. Like I have this confidence right now that I mean, maybe not right now sitting here today, but like normally when I'm like full of energy and rocking and rolling and firing on all cylinders, I'm like, hey, I'm pretty fucking good at this because I've put work into it. But it's something like I said to you last year, I'm like, you're naturally already so good at it. I feel like I can say that because I've done it for a while. And this isn't me circle jerking or whatever. Don't worry. I'm not going to spend 20 minutes.
Circles and jerks.
Yes. I'm just going to do a single jerk.
Not in front of the camera.
Oh, geez. I got to hang on. I got to stop video. Hang on. But,
that was the most disgusting sound. I don't know how loud you can hear that.
Oh, it didn't pop. Hang on. Damn it. Why can't I pop? Fuck. Never mind.
Sounds like a personal problem, Teej.
Anyway, yeah, let me just say that. But anyway, I don't remember what I was saying. All I was saying is you're really good and you're getting better and it takes time. Like you've been podcasting for what, 6 years now?
6 years, yeah.
But you've only really been interviewing, quote unquote, for like
two.
Yeah. So
really,
you're going to, and you're actually interviewing. So that's something that, it takes reps. It takes time to do that. And I think you're already great at it. But then also you mentioned the personal thing. And the reason why I kind of agree and disagree with that statement is I think that with certain people, especially people who are like have some stroke and have notoriety and things of that nature, they want to relate to the person they're speaking with in some way. It makes them more comfortable, most people anyway, in my experience. Do you need to spend 10 minutes rambling on? Probably not.
I cut out like a 15-minute monologue of bullshit.
15-minute monologue?
Oh my God, it was so
So anyway, when I was 17, I discovered porn. Anyway, no.
Oh my God. Imagine like all the people I'm interviewing like, holy shit.
This shit, man. So anyway, I was turned on to... I'm not even going to say it. I was going to say something I didn't.
Glad you didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't either.
There was a funny shit. Just, I don't know why, I guess because you said the phrase turned on, it just made me think of this one story from when I used to work. And I promise it's not dirty, despite the phrase turned on. I used to work at a grocery store, and I don't know if I've told this story before, but I just remember... I might have on the podcast, but in any case, I was working in a grocery store and I asked a lady if she wanted paper or plastic bags. And she goes, oh, whatever turns you on. And I just kind of stared at her for a second. I'm like, I didn't have anything to say to her, but in my head, I'm like, well, neither one of these things are really doing it for me. So I don't know what you want, lady. it's one of the weirdest responses I ever got to that question. Paper, plastic, oh, whatever turns you on.
That's very
uncomfortable.
What even the fuck do you say to that?
The most weird responses I ever got working retail was in GameStop. Grocery stores, you got just more angry people, just kind of run-of-the-mill grumps. Sounds like a band name.
Run-of-the-mill grumps. That's going to be our band.
I know, right? And we're like mumble metalheads. Because we're just grumps. So I think it makes sense. Anyway, but GameStop, I know I told this story before, but for new listeners who might not have heard the episode, I don't even remember which episode it was on, but I just remember I told the story where this lady came in and was trying to buy her like 8-year-old son a copy of Saints Row 3.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Did I tell you this story?
I briefly remember it, so please tell it again, because it's a good story.
So she was trying to buy her 8-year-old son Saints Row 3, and I told her, I'm like, well, just so you know, this is rated M for mature. It has sexual content and nudity and all this other stuff. And she just kind of goes, yeah, it's fine. And I'm like, lady, like, this is not for an 8-year-old in the slightest. And then I went again, like, just so you know, like, there's some pretty raunchy stuff in here. You beat people to death with a sex toy. And she goes, oh, well, what kind is it?
What kind? Like, that's going to make it better. She's like, well, is it anal beads? We talking about, like, whips? We talking about dildos? Talking about butt plugs? Like, what are we talking about here? Beating people to death with a butt plug? Like, what's up?
So I told her, well, it's a 3-foot, it's a male piece, and it's like 3 feet big. And she goes, oh, well, he has one of those anyway, so it's no big deal.
I thought that was the end of the story. I forgot about that part.
No, she Holy and I knew shit. What she meant. I knew what she meant. Yes, she's not saying anyways. Her son has a 3-foot dildo.
He is a 3-foot dick.
What a weird thing for a mom to say about her 8-year-old child.
Oh my God. What even is happening?
Oh, that was one of the weirdest.
What do you even say to that?
I just went, all right. Then on the
have a good day.
$24.99, ma'am. I forget, or whatever the price was. I don't remember. That was back say, also.
You got Saints Row 3 for $24.99. Holy shit!
I mean, that was also back when it came out. It was pre-owned, of course. So
I was gonna say that's a good price.
I mean,
brand new game.
Oh, no, yeah. It wasn't brand new. It was pre-owned. It was definitely pre-owned.
Okay, fair.
But yeah, no. So that's one of the weirder experiences. But
that's great.
It's just so uncomfortable, man.
Okay. I had someone this year. I don't remember. Just quickly on responses to that, I had someone walk by me at work earlier this year. I can't even get through it. She walks by me, and like I feel her look at me, like just like look at me, you know. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you know, you'd be really sexy if you weren't so fat.
Oh,
and I went, thanks. It's like, well, like you got a really handsome face, and like, you know, you can tell you've got like some good features, but just you're just too fat. And I was like,
go okay, fuck well, you're yourself. Too fucking, are you kidding? You're
too fucking ugly. But have a good day. And she was mad. She was like, well, I'm just trying to give you a compliment. I'm like, you just what the fuck kind of compliment? I mean, again, let me state for the record, I'm not denial or anything. I like cheeseburgers, but. Who just walks by someone and says something like that?
Point. It's not the point. It's like you don't just say that to somebody. That's so fucked up. That it kind of reminds me. I don't know if it's going to make it into the final cut of the episode. I think it's okay to leave this in, so it should be fine. But in the Sissy Jones episode that actually would have come out 2 weeks prior to this coming out, she when we were recording with her, she told us a story how she did one podcast. Where the guy, he was asking her a question about, I forget, I think it was about the Owl House, which is her Disney show that's out right now. And he goes, well, now that you've done this, you've peaked, right? Said that to the, like, are you fucking
peaked,
kidding me?
Right? Oh, well, now that you've done an interview with me, you've peaked, right? What did she say to that?
I don't know what she said in the moment, but she in the when we were talking to her, she's like, well, fuck you. Understandably,
I would have
so.
Been like, fuck yourself and hung up. Ooh, what an insulting thing. And that's even, if you, like, okay, listen, let me, listen. Let's like, say our, okay, still loading listeners. Let's say our boy Josh gets a big gig, right? He's working with the Angry Video Game Nerd on something or whatever.
Oh my God.
Let's say I was talking with Josh on my show and I said, hey buddy, you've peaked now, right? And I winked at him and blew him a kiss. That's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. This is someone that like she had no idea who they
did. He
know
say it
each
in like
other.
A joking way, at least, or like
I have no idea. I mean, I wasn't there.
Because that's
just said
thing
that the person
that
said it to her.
Like I would be like, you're joking, right? Yeah. Sorry, I'm just joking. It's like, oh, okay. But like, even the joke about that, like, what the hell? Especially her, because she seems so sweet too. Like,
she's just such a nice person, man. She's like, one she's one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life. And she, when I was interviewing her, she's just so nice. Like, I can't describe it. Like, she's just such a genuinely down to earth and nice person. And
you peak? Oh my God!
That's so messed up.
Like, those are the people that. You know, oh yes, I'm a podcaster. I'm fuck off.
Anyway. This is a little presumptuous, but maybe he peaked in that interview.
Clearly,
right? Like, who is he going to get another interview after that? I don't know. But no, that was such a ridiculous story.
It's brutal. It's so strange. That's like being asked. That's like when someone hits you up to be on your show to promote something. And you say yes, and then they send you a fucking bill.
Did that happen to you?
Yes, sir.
That's, oh, wow.
Let me tell you guys how the world
right
works.
Into the barrel, right down the barrel.
You do not contact somebody. I don't give a shit if you're the Pope, okay? I always use the Pope. I don't know why. Why do I always use the Pope?
Because he's a beacon of wholesomeness and joy. I have no idea.
I don't give a shit who you are. You do not message somebody to do a podcast with them, have them say yes and start scheduling it, taking time out of their day to start doing prep, and then you send them a bill for your time. If that's your business strategy, go start licking some handrails. Anyway.
Go start licking some handrails. I like
that. And if you can't figure out what I mean by that, lick more handrails. Anyway, yeah, I thought that was funny. That was a good time this year. Anyway, back to positive, happy, fun stuff.
No, this is a good positive. So this is fun. I totally lost my train of thought of where I wanted to go from here next. Let's kind of talk about some of, we just finished up talking about some of the stuff we, like the goals that we hit this year. Mm-hmm.
You were talking about, I think you were kind of talking about your interviewing stuff and how like it kind of like you got a little better near the end of the year.
My goal was just to get more interviews in general. And so this year alone, I've had two repeat interviews. I had Andrew Prallo back on, and then I had Sissy Jones come on twice in the same year, which was cool. And then I had my first game designer on, which is fun. And actually, hint, hint, I won't announce who it is yet, but I have my second one coming on sometime, hopefully in February. So,
okay. I don't even know who it is, so I'm excited.
I will tell you after we're done recording.
Exclusive. I'll tell you guys. Don't worry. No, I'm just kidding.
But no, it just like I was happy with the reason I was happy with this year in terms of the show. Obviously, we talked about just the awful stuff that's been going on outside of the content creation world, but I achieved the goals that I wanted to, and honestly, the listeners have been so great this year. They're always great, but like it just I've gotten so much positive feedback, like more than I'm used to, which was like none. So this is nice that I got some.
It was none.
But it's
100% increase from last year, buddy.
I know, right? But the listeners have just been so nice. And
I'm sorry. The reason I'm laughing so hard is. Did you see the Spotify Wrapped thing?
Yeah.
So, I didn't tell you this. I need to tell you this now.
Okay.
So you know how I said like I had like Australia had 150% increase in listenership and Ireland had 100%.
Yeah.
Did you see that? You know how Ireland had 100%?
How? So
it went from 0 to 1. That's 100%, bro.
It's 100%.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I just started laughing because I thought of that. I had to tell you that. But no, like you had – it's cool, though, when you start getting that kind of feedback, though.
Yeah. It turned out to be a real good year. And like, seriously, listeners, thank you so much. I really hope this doesn't come off as like too braggy. This is just kind of like a behind the scenes type of thing of just like,
yeah,
not necessarily the business aspect of the podcasting game, because we make fucking no money off.
Hey, bro, speak for yourself. Just kidding.
I kind of like the behind the scenes type of vibe. So I hope this is interesting for you just to kind of hear like what we think about when we kind of look back on the stuff that we've done and like what our goals are going forward. And some of my goals for next year is I want to get more interviews. I want to see where the interview game can go and like where different things are going. I have an idea to bring back an old episode concept in a different way, which I don't want to say yet because nothing has... If it works, it's going to be fucking awesome. If it doesn't work, then it's going to really suck having to tell everyone it's not going to work. So there's an old episode concept that I've done before and I'm going to be bringing it back. Hopefully if all things goes according to plan. And then I'll tell you once again, TJ off mic.
Yeah, I get more exclusives.
But then
if you guys join my Patreon, I'll tell you what it is.
Actually one thing I do want to ask for all the listeners I'm going to probably post this on, I probably posted it already on Instagram, but I'll probably do it a couple more times, just throughout. But I really want to revamp the Patreon, because Patreon right now, like my friend's given to it and that's fine. Like I don't need anyone to give to it, but being completely honest, even without that, my benefits for giving you the Patreon are fucking shit. There's nothing good on them. So I want some feedback. Like what would people want minus physical rewards? Cause that I don't have the means to do that, nor the time, especially we'll explain a little bit more later why my time is going to be decreased. I know I keep
alluding. Especially coming up.
You know what? I keep saying it. So let's just fucking say it. I'm going to be a father.
Thank you.
I think I've alluded to it in other episodes. I'm 99% certain I have, but because of that, I'm cutting down. I was doing weekly after the summer of PS2. The summer of PS2, I used to do every other week, and then starting the summer of PS2, I did weekly. And I'm like, you know what? Let me see if I can just close this out for the rest of the year and just continue to do weekly. But as the idea of trying to come up with 4 episodes a month approximately kept coming around, I'm like, I'm not going to have time to do this with a kid here. Excuse me. I'm going to have to like cut down. So Mario Month this year is only going to be 2 episodes instead of 4. So instead of the normal weekly for Mario Month, I'm only going to do 2 this year. Like I said, especially because at that point, my kid is going to be only a handful of months old and it's still going to be a lot of work. So I'm going to be cutting down to 2 episodes a month. And to be honest, I actually already recorded one of them. Like we're 3 months out from that.
That's it. That's another reason why I wanted to get this done with you now. Right. So like,
yeah,
you don't have to worry about it. But that's awesome, man. Like, congrats on that. Like it's exciting and I'm so excited for you and Courtney. That's awesome. And you know,
you
can tell the kid they've got an uncle in Canada.
What would be a Canadian uncle? What would be a nickname for that? I was gonna say cunkle, but that just sounds weird.
Cunkle! I want to be a cunkle.
It just sounds like
send some maple syrup.
It sounds like a sex fetish. Oh God, TG just buried his face into his microphone. He's disappeared. He's lost it.
Oh, my face is so red. Oh, my God.
We're not going to refer to you as a sex fetish, TJ.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
No, but seriously, that's awesome. And I think everyone would understand if you need to take a few steps back.
Yeah, no, that's why I've actually recorded so far. I actually already have 2 episodes recorded that are going to be aired in the new year already. I'm hoping to have others recorded by the end of this week. And I'm hoping to have another one recorded another one's being recorded this Monday. And then I'm hoping to get 2 or 3 others done over the next 2 weeks. So if I can, I'll have all of March recorded before December's out. So all the way up through March recorded before December's out, which will be awesome.
But that's pretty sweet. I'm jealous. I want to be able.
It's just time management. So, but, in any case, is there anything any other parts of your show that you'd like to talk about TJ, any other retrospective stuff, any goals you have for next year, or any goals from last year that you achieved?
Well, as far as last year, I did talk about, of course, the, you know, interviewing someone who I was really nervous about and I wanted to reach out to, which was Hoogie, and then also Tyler as well, in a way too. That was really cool for me. Building on that into next year, I want to do the same thing where I want to reach out to someone who I don't think is going to say yes. I want to reach out to someone who
shoot your shot.
I think is going to say no and just see what happens. Because I proved to myself that I can interview someone who I am super nervous about and do it and get through it. You know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely a goal I have for next year. I'm going to have my episode 300 next year, which is exciting. My original goal with it was to do an actual live show where I was going to have an audience. I don't think that's going to happen now, but I think sometime next year, not I want to do maybe near the end of next year or something. I don't know. I do want to do a live show with an audience of some kind. That's something I want to do. I don't know why. It's just something I want to try and do. But I'd say the main thing is I have a master list of musicians that I really want to reach out to. Mm-hmm. Some of them definitely I'm not reaching out to, like, just willy nilly. I need to, like, play my cards right and build some kind of a networking system. Basically, I need to start building a resume of, with all due respect to the fantastic unsigned artists and that I speak with on my show, which is my bread and butter.
Yeah.
I need to start building a kind of a resume of people who are, you know, signed. They have serious rate. You know what I mean? Like, I just need to start building that a little bit more.
Not get rid of what built you. Cause you never,
I'll never get rid of that. Yeah. I love doing it too much. I love that too much. Cause if I contact, say, I don't know, who's someone I want to have on the show, Mark Tremonti from Alter Bridge, Creed and Tremonti, you know, he's a dream. I would love to speak with him.
I did not know you were a big fan of him. Creed used to be my favorite band of all time. Not anymore.
If you want to have a good time, get TJ liquored up and put on any Creed song for karaoke. And I promise, I love... my jam's more One Last Breath. That's more my thing.
And I'm down to one.
Yeah. Oh, buddy. If I'm even remotely liquored up, I actually love Creed. Like, all their records, everything. I love Creed.
Creed is like the American Nickelback.
They are for sure.
But Nickelback is still together.
Kind of the American Nickelback too. But
wait, what? Sorry.
Say Nickelback's still kind of the American Nickelback too.
Though. A little bit, yeah.
But I know what you're saying. But yeah, no, it's But what's funny about Creed is, like, now Mark Tremonti is so revered because he was in Alter Bridge, and then he has his solo stuff, which is, it's literally metal, but it's him.
I remember I constantly had to defend his guitar playing skills to my friends who were like, Led Zeppelin. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking anything with classic rock, but who were like big classic rock heads who were like, you know, Led Zeppelin. Their favorite though was Randy Rhoads from Ozzy Osbourne before he tragically passed away was in an accident. I forget which. But like, so they're always like, you know, these were the top Jimmy Page, Randy Rhoads, you know, Eddie Van Halen, rest in peace. We lost Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, we did. That sucked, man. I'm not a huge Van Halen fan, but that, as someone who was a guitarist and, you know, that sucked for sure.
But it's just like, I remember constantly having to defend him. I'm like, do you listen to his solos? Like, his solos are fucking sick.
Dude. Like, if you go back and listen to Creed, like, really listen to, maybe not the first record, as much as I love My Own Prison, there's some great stuff on there. But if you go listen to Weathered and you go listen to Human Clay and Overcome, like, are you kidding me? Like, especially, like, with Human Clay, like, there's some serious, like, stuff in there.
Yeah,
and
no.
I'm Tremonti such a big awesome. Fan of his, and I know that... Like, let's say I just randomly decide I'm going to reach out. Never would happen. Just, there's no way. But if I said, hey, here's who I am. here's some artists I've worked with in the past. And I say A, B, and C, or whatever, whoever they are. Then his publicist will go, okay, he has a little bit of credibility at least. Worst case scenario, they can call up their publicist. Is this guy legit? Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Or if you really want to get lucky, because I'm kind of sort of always slithering. I'm like a snake. I'm always slithering around trying to like.
All right, Malfoy.
Just.
But I'm.
Ha ha. I'm always trying to like. My networking is what I'm trying to say here. Basically, if I could hit someone up and say, hey, here's who I am. Oh, yeah, this person put in a good word for you.
Oh, my God, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
that would be
such a great feeling.
And I don't want it to be like, hey, can you put in a good word for me? I want to build a rapport with people to the point where, and that's why I haven't reached out to bigger names at this point, right? I want to build rapport with people who they know. So if I can call up this person, we have a good relationship, and I say, hey, you know, I would never ask anything of you, like as far as not, like if you say no, it's cool, I'll never ask again, but how would you feel about putting a good word for me with this person who I idolize and would die to have them on my show? There's particularly a couple people that I kind of sort of have a connection with now in a little bit. That's kind of in a weird way that I'm like, kind of biding my time, because like it could pretty much happen anytime if I wanted to, but I'm like, I don't want you to think that's why I'm have you in my circle, because that's not the reason.
I've had those same conversations with people I've had on my show, and I'm not going to name specifics, but like just to be clear to the listeners, like I really hope it doesn't sound like we're coming off as trying to brag about these people we've had on.
I
just wanted to be sure, because like I could. Some people get really upset by that because it makes it feel like the person who, you know, the podcaster or the content creator is bragging about it. Hold on. I was going to say the reason I wanted to say that though is like the reason we talk about this is like we're still small podcasters. So the fact that we get anyone of note or someone that we look up to is just the best feeling. And one of the things, you know, we talk about all the time on my podcast is how much we are passionate about video games. So I get, mm-hmm. I'm passionate about how, like, I'm trying to meet people that I admire and respect, and I want to see and I like what they do. And I've said it before, like, I'm not going to reach out to someone that I just have no interest in the work. They could be the greatest person.
Because they're a big name.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. I never want to do that. Mm-hmm. If they reach out to me, that's different. But if I'm reaching out to them, then it's, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So yeah, I just, I don't know. I guess I get a little self-conscious, and I just don't want people to think that this is like, once again, at the beginning, like it's a circle jerk type of thing, you know, like, oh, look how this look great and shit. I don't want it to be that. I just kind of want, this is like a behind the scenes recording, just two friends, both who do content creation and podcasting, and just kind of talking about like what they liked about this year, what they didn't like about this past year. What do they want to do going forward? And it is, the retrospective, I hope it doesn't come off as a holier than thou or some kind of arrogant bullshit. I don't know. I get anxious about that, you know?
At the end of the day, this is one thing I've learned this year too. That's a good lesson for everybody. If you are excited and happy about something to the point that you speak about it, because that's how excited you are, and having people on a show that you do that you admire and you look up to, it is a good thing. And if you talking about that makes people think you're, you know, fuck them as far as I'm concerned, because you're not going, oh yes, no, I got this person on and it's going to do great for me and look at my downloads. You're not, if you were doing that, that's a different story. But like, if I was to say, yeah, you know, having this person on was great for my brand, it's like, no, fuck you.
Like, in fact, you know, one of the episodes that I had that I was really proud of this year, it was an interview. I won't say which one because I don't want it to be weird, but
sure,
the downloads didn't do as good as I was expecting. And that's not, I'm not upset by it. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I'm like, oh man, I was hoping this would do better. But like, it was one of the best conversations I ever had with someone. And mm-hmm. I don't regret that for a minute. In fact, this is this one I can say, in the summer of PS2 episode, the Shinobi episode specifically didn't do really that well comparatively. Like, there's new episodes that now have more downloads than that one. And I'm not upset by it because it was a great episode. It was one of my favorites to record. And it was nothing wrong with anything. It's just Shinobi doesn't have that brand.
It's a
well-known series, but not anymore. You know, it's a well-known to the retro world, not so much to everyone now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, on that same note, I mean, listen, the chat I had with Hoogie and Tyler didn't do as good as I thought they were going to do, but that's not why I had them on.
Because you like you what know, they do.
Exactly. Well, with Tyler, I was like, this dude, anyone who contacts me to be on my show, I go out of my way to have them on. I don't give a shit who they are. Well, that's not true. He seemed like a great guy and he wanted to help me. And I was like, fuck yeah, buddy. And he was a killer dude. Now we have a relationship and he's an awesome guy. And he's a talented player. So it's like the best interview I had for quote unquote downloads this year. I was like, what? it was a great chat, but I was like, that was a throwaway conversation. That was a throwaway episode kind of in a way. Like, I treat every episode like this is going to be good. I'm proud of everything I've done this year, which is another thing that I'm really happy with this year. Like, I don't feel like I had any missteps this year, but that episode was like, I didn't think it was like I was that great on it. They were good guests, but it was their first podcast. So like, just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, I think I've had better chats, but it did the best. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's just,
you just never know.
So having people on that you admire is awesome. And if people think it's like, oh, he's just doing it for downloads, it's like, no, that's not the case at all.
The entire month of December here on Still Loading has been sponsored by Geek Guilt. Geek Guilt is the online store for all of your geeky needs, from clothing to costumes to home living to the video games themselves. Geek Guilt is worth checking out. And right now, listeners of my show get a discount. If you go to geekguilt.com, you can get 20% off all in-stock NES games. That's right, original Nintendo games, by using the code STILLLOADING at checkout. That is Still Loading, STILLLOADING, no spaces, all one word, at checkout. And you'll get 20% off any in-stock NES games. So make sure you go over to geekguild.com and check out not just that, but everything they have to offer. But anyway, to move on, because I know we do have a time limit this time. So let's kind of move on to some games, not just video games, but some games about video games. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to, I have two different things here. One, we're going to do a ranking. We are going to rank, I looked at the top five best-selling N64 games. And the reason I chose N64 is because it's something I know both TJ and I know a lot about have played, or at least played a lot. So the top five selling Nintendo 64 games are Super Mario 64, which sold 11,910,000 units.
Wow. Really?
Which is about a third of all sold N64s, which is there's about 32 million N64s sold, and this sold a third of them, which is crazy.
Wow.
Mario Kart 64 had 9,870,000. That was at number two. Number three was GoldenEye 007 at 8,090,000. At number four was Ocarina of Time at 7,600,000.
I'm surprised that didn't beat out GoldenEye.
GoldenEye was huge.
Why is that? I mean, it was but close. Like, that surprises me. Yeah.
Less than 500K difference. And then number five was Super Smash Bros. For the original Super Smash Bros. At 5,550,000. So what we are going to do is we rank them from our most favorite to least favorite, or least favorite to most favorite. So what we're going to do, we're going to each say what our least favorite out of those top five are. We cannot discuss our reasons for it until both of us have said a game. So if you say GoldenEye is your least favorite, and I say GoldenEye is... But my least favorite, let's say, is Super Mario 64, which I'm assuming it's neither of these, then we can't talk about it this round. We have to wait until both of us say the game.
Wow, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so basically, if we agree on it, we can talk about it.
Well, once it doesn't have to be on the same... We don't have to say it on the same round.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yes, I got you. I follow you.
So
okay,
here, let's start off. So what's your number five?
My number five is probably going to be controversial. It is Mario 64. is my least favorite out of those five.
Oh, we will have
least words. Favorite out of those five.
We will have words, sir. Mine actually, I mean, all these technically would be controversial, but these are all in top five. Like, none of these are bad games. But
it's opinion based, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, there is no critical analysis right now.
And the reasoning for mine is just so silly, but we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. So my number five is Mario Kart 64.
What?
I'll get into it. So what's your number four?
My number four. Sorry, hang on. I got my list here.
No, it's okay.
Do I agree with that? Yeah, I agree with that. Is GoldenEye is my number four.
Ooh, okay. Might not talk about that one for a little bit. Might not just get to it. Sorry, I'm writing down yours right now. So my number four is Super Smash Bros.
What? Wow.
This is going to be fantastic.
I'm surprised. I'm genuinely surprised.
Two rounds with no discussion. Round number three. What is your number three?
Mario Kart.
All right. So we can talk about Mario Kart. So
what do you have against Mario Kart? What the hell?
I don't like kart racers. I don't enjoy them. Mario Kart 64, and a lot of Mario Kart fans will say actually that Mario Kart 64 is the worst Mario Kart game in the series. It's not to say that it's not good.
I haven't played them all, so I shouldn't say that. I mean, I love Double Dash.
That's what a lot of people like.
Double Dash, I think, is my favorite. But
a lot of people like Super Circuit on the GBA too.
Never played it, so I can't comment on that
one. But it's for me, it's just the reason it was my 5 out of 5 is just because I don't know. I don't like competitive games. And so since this is
it's
a competitive game, but the random factor is 10 times more bullshit than anything else. Like, it's just so easy to fall behind due to random shit. With that said, I have enjoyed playing it. It's just out of these five, I would rather play the other four.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is too, with me is, I'm very, especially with the N64, these five games in particular, well, four of them really, bring up, I have certain emotional memories with them where it's very vivid. So for me, the reason why I love Mario Kart so much and the reason it's not lower on my list, I used to play Mario Kart with my mom all the time.
Yeah.
So that's why I think of it so fondly. So it's that simple. I agree with you that I'm not a huge fan of kart racing and competitive games, but because out of these five games, I have such great fond memories with that one, it has to be on that list there. So,
I get you. All right. So my number three is Ocarina of Time. I think I know where that one is on yours. I think I know.
You can go fuck yourself. Right now this conversation is over.
This conversation
is done. We're done. This conversation.
Oh God!
Is over.
You turned off the camera. I got concerned for a second. What is your number two then?
Sorry, I'm back. I muted myself too, just to be a dick. I'm sorry.
I was like, oh God, he really did leave.
Yeah, no. Oh, buddy. No. Okay. I'll create that. All right, fair enough. My number two, and this was a hard one, I'm not going to lie, because my number one and my number two are like, Super Smash Bros. Is my number two.
All right. So we are talking Super Smash Bros. So Smash for me, the reason it was number four out of all of these is that once again, it's a competitive game. Mm-hmm. It's a competitive game. But what do you like about it? I talked about why I didn't like Mario Kart 64. So before I go into why it ranked so low for me out of five, let's be real, it's not like it's that far down, but
no, it's yeah, there's a lot worse games on the N64.
Yeah. But like, what do you like about Smash?
Again, and people might not like this about me, but I'm a very like emotional guy, and I'm very like, I think fondly of things due to certain like memories and stuff. Super Smash Bros. Was the actual first real legit video game I ever played. Up in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, with an old friend of mine, went over to his house. Hey, let's play this game. What's a game? I didn't really know what it was. And I was like, I was young, but I was old enough that like, I played a little bit of Game Boy, like a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty, and like maybe a little bit of like Sega and stuff, but like not enough that I knew. And just, I knew Pokemon. There was Pikachu. Done. Hours and hours and hours of playing. So many fond memories of it with that. It was the first video game I was ever given at Christmas when I got my N64.
Oh, well, no Super wonder. Smash Bros. Like, I'm amazed this didn't rate higher for you. Oh, buddy, actually, you know what? I know why.
It was close. This is hard. But yeah, so for me, that's why. But then also just, it's such a fun game. Again, competitiveness, I do agree with you on. I'm not a huge fan of competitive games, especially playing with my dickweed friends who are just... Listen, for those of you who know me at all, or if you listen to this on the Hotter Show version, because I'm stealing this episode from Josh, and you know Mike's and Beers, my co-host Kraft Woody, do not come for him with Smash Bros.
Does he get crazy about it?
I have seen that man go against three other people who are all, like, could be ranked. That's how good they are. One of them was ranked.
Wow.
And he destroyed them. Took them to school, bent them over, spanked them, sent them back home. That's how bad it was. It was like 3-on-1. It was embarrassing. And they said, oh, it's the character you're playing. Okay, who do you want me to be? You can't beat us with Jigglypuff. Okay. Creamed them. Just ungodly. And he's going to love that I'm saying this, by the way. So, but anyway, yeah, just fond memories with Smash Bros. First game I ever was given, first video game I ever owned, first game I ever really, really played. Just, yeah, too many fond memories not to have it as my number two.
So for me, the reason it was so low is because I, for some reason, I always had a hard time keeping track of my character, and I've gotten better at it now. I could not find it. I would always jump off the level, but okay. I don't want to dwell on
it. Who was your character though?
I don't remember. It was any of them. Okay. I couldn't, I was just,
depending on who it was, I get that.
I played a lot more Melee than I did of
Smash. See, I prefer Melee.
So do I. I like Melee more, but a lot of people still like the original. So my number two will also be a discussion round. In fact, all the last couple should all be discussions. It is Super Mario 64 is my number two. So you had Super Mario 64 as your number five. What's wrong with you?
Here's why. I never owned it. Anytime I'd want to rent it when I was younger, it was never in the store.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't really buy video games. It wasn't something that happened all the time. Anytime I'd buy video games, they'd have to be either very used or like very good price. I never came across a copy. When I finally got a copy of it, I was 16, 17 years old. Didn't do it for me. Didn't get it.
So
if I had played it back when I was a kid, I think I'd have fonder memories of it, but just, it's a fun game and it's a great Mario game. But out of these five, even you could give me probably 10 or 12 other games, I'd probably still rank it at the bottom. Just, I can't. It's just,
wow.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a fun game. It's a great game. It's a classic. Just, I got no fond memories with it, really.
I guess
so. Sam, then again, Sam loves it. So, like, maybe we played it a little bit together.
Oh, you should have bumped it up a couple notches just for her.
Right? Just for that. No, it's still. But yeah, that's about the only memories I really have with it are just it like playing it with Sam a couple years ago. That's about it. Like, it just,
so for me, I didn't grow up with it either, but I played it for the first time, like really, really sat down and played it for the first time, I want to say 2 years ago, and really just fell in love with it. The gameplay is still so fun and imaginative. I actually, funnily enough, we were talking, like, I recorded an episode the night before. It was on Super Mario 64 coming out.
Oh, well, there you go.
Later on in March. That's the first episode of Mario Month.
Oh, well, there you go.
For everybody. So I love Super Mario 64. It is such a, like, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but it is both this one and I'm sure you're number one when we talk about it. Are the two probably most important 3D games of all time, for different reasons, but not necessarily the best, obviously, but the two most important ones of all time. Mm-hmm. So Mario 64, just the music, the visuals, like I love it so much. So your number one.
Before we move on, let me ask you a really quick question.
Yes. About
Mario. Mario 64 or Paper Mario?
Mario 64.
Because I haven't played
Paper Mario, so I can't say. I was you're looking. I own it. I can find it.
You've never played Paper. Send it to me.
No, I need to play.
Yeah, boy. Holy cow.
I remember watching
first Aiden Chronicles and now this.
Well, 80 Chronicles. Oh, come on. No one even knows that game exists.
I brought that game back to life. Let's be serious.
Single-handedly. We will do an episode on that game at some point.
But yeah, no, I was just curious about that.
No, so I remember I didn't play Paper Mario for the longest time because I, as a kid, I thought it was dumb. I knew nothing about the gameplay, mind you. So this was not based off of like, oh, this game looks stupid. Because after watching someone play it, I saw a commercial. I'm like, Paper Mario? That's dumb. And then I decided, like, who would buy that game? And now I know it's one of the most beloved of all time. And I own it, and I do intend on playing it at some point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, your number one.
My number one is a game that I have way too much sentimental value to not have as my number one on this list, even of all time. For instance, for I think it has to be either my number one or like my number two or three for sure, 100%. Again, sentimental reason, it is a game that I was given by my father, and it was at a time when I was actually in the hospital. Nothing serious, but just I was overnight in the hospital, first time, really scary. And my father came, and he gave me Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And I spent an entire summer. I've told this story a million times. Josh is going to laugh.
No,
it was an old two guys in a game bit. I have a learning disability. And when I was very young, I was reading at like a kindergarten level when I was in grade like 4 or 5. It was really bad. I could not read very well. I played this game for an entire summer. When I got back to school heading into grade 6, they were like, "What? Who did you hire as a tutor this year?" I was like 7th grade level Zelda reading. Bitch. And I was like, Zelda? And my mom was like, okay. So my mom never liked me playing video games. But after that, she was like, okay. So due to that, the adventure, the story, the characters, the combat. I mean, come on. It's Ocarina of Time.
So
I played that shit the other day. It still holds up. Fuck you.
I disagree on the holding up to it. No,
it doesn't hold up as well, but it's still fun.
It's still fun. No, the only reason that I even have it at number three for me is just because I played it so much and I'm tired of it now. That's weird because you would think that's not a criticism of it by any stretch.
That's not the game's fault.
That's not the game's fault. The game was too good that I played it too much that I got tired of it. And it just, it's... Mario 64 and this are the two most important 3D games of all time. Actually, my number one, you could make the argument it's important for, but not quite as important. We'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
But like Ocarina of Time, I was the first Zelda game I ever played. And mm-hmm. I remember being blown away by it because the moment I got onto Hyrule Field, I went, holy shit. But I didn't know, I didn't swear back then. But I was blown away.
I don't know why it just made me laugh. But.
it blew me away. I just could not believe that this world felt so real. It felt so alive. I remember I used to bring the strategy guide to church with me so I could read it during the boring sermon.
I'm picturing I'm assuming your church was very... reserved. I figured. So nothing wrong with that, but just
no.
Then Jesus said to Moses, and he's just sitting there. Oh, so the like steal your shield, fuckers! Like just
my favorite thing ever about my church was they were trying to get more people in, so they advertised this old fashioned church service, we're gonna be like good old American
America talking about Jesus
and
about the Lord.
They advertised it as like, we're gonna go back to the roots, man. We are going to go old school with our service. It's gonna be this really traditional old school service to kind of transport the congregation back in time to make it feel like it's more like 1800s or 1700s or whatever.
And that was the way they were bringing in the new people?
Well, they were trying to bring in older people, let's be real, more other old people. But so they they did it. And then I remember watching the whole, I was there for the service and I remember going through the whole service. I'm like, nothing changed. It's the exact same service, but our pastor's wearing different robes. It's the same hymns. It's the same format. Nothing changed. And I just remember going like, wow, You guys,
I thought really he'd be like angrier. Updated.
I
thought he'd be like angrier.
Oh, I was,
you know, like, and then Jesus smited, you know, like just.
Oh, he already is kind of like that.
Yeah, I think of like churches like that, and I just like, it's like, why are you so angry? Stop yelling at me. Okay, I'm so sorry, I was bored. Like,
my pastor is not like that, but he.
That's good.
He gets pretty serious about some topics.
Which that's different. That's fine. We're not going to get into a whole religious conversation.
But. No, we're definitely not going to get, especially not some of those topics. I just remember going through the service. I'm like, what? You lied to everybody. They didn't have to come today. They could have come any Sunday, and it would have been the same thing.
Oh boy.
But anyway, so my number one, your number one is Ocarina of Time. My number one, the only one left, GoldenEye, 007, GoldenEye. If I had to choose, if I had to choose between James Bond games on the N64, I'd actually prefer The World's Not Enough. I like
that one more. Yes, thank you.
Yes. Had better multiplayer because there was AI bots, mm-hmm. had more modes, and mm-hmm. a lot more different weapon variety. Though it didn't have proximity mines, which was definitely a loss. But proximity mines, you know, in GoldenEye, where you just kind of plaster them up on a wall. And
see, I didn't miss those. Because I found that with the multiplayer,
it was just stupid.
Whereas the World Is Not Enough multiplayer, we should just do an episode on World Is Not Enough. Have you done an episode of World Is Not Enough?
I did, I will gladly redo one at some point.
Me and you will do one because I love that game. You know how long it took me to beat that game, Josh? Several years. Anyway, please talk about GoldenEye.
The reason I chose GoldenEye because the first games that I played on the N64, not the first game. The first game I played on the N64 was Donkey Kong 64, which I've already done an episode. Yes. That was episode 100. But
Donkey Kong.
Grant Kirkhope, the composer for that game, still tweets out stuff where it's just like, my career peaked at the DK rap.
I mean, so now that you made the DK rap, your career has peaked, right?
I know, right?
That's called a callback, folks.
I know, right?
Without a professional.
So I just love GoldenEye. I love FPS games. And the reason I was going to say that game is important for different reasons is just because it made first-person shooters viable on a console. It was one of the first ones to really do first-person shooters well on a console and first-person shooter multiplayer well on a console. And it did so many good things. And just, I love GoldenEye. I can't help it. Do you have any thoughts on it?
No.
Okay.
GoldenEye, I mean, it was fun when it came out, playing it with your buddies. Like, we loved that game. And it's fun. You'd be pissed off at your buddy playing Odd Job. Like, just, you'd have slap fights. It was a great game. It was a great time. The story was fun. There was some cool weapons. The laser weapon. Like, come on. Good stuff.
Always make sure to be an Odd Job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because...
you couldn't hit him.
I had a buddy who he would only play his Odd Job, and he would get violently angry if we were like, no, you're banned. You can't play Odd Job. He'd just get mad. And then he'd want to play Turok 64 instead, which was fun, but compared to GoldenEye, it was the shits. So then when I started bringing around The World Is Not Enough, they didn't like it. You know why they didn't like it?
No Odd Job?
Because it took skill. Anyway, I'm just talking shit about that person.
So I'm going to give you the overall ranking of these things. So basically what I did is I took a point value for where they each placed. So if we ranked a game at number 5, it got 1 point. If we ranked a game at number 1, it got 5 points. Does that make sense? You just kind of... So the lower...
You let me know what I got for points because for example,
Super Mario 64 at number 5. That means you gave that 1 point. GoldenEye got for you was at
okay,
number 4.
Okay, yes, sorry. So I got you. Okay.
So... your Super Mario 64 was 5. My Super Mario 64 was 2. So that means you had 1 point for yours and 4 points for mine. Add those together. Super Mario 64 has 5 points. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So Mario Kart 64 was the lowest out of all of them. It's 4 total points. You had it ranked at number 3, which means 3 points. I had it ranked at number 5, which means 1 point. So 4 points total. Bottom of the list. That's 5 out of 5 in terms of like if we averaged out everything, that is our least favorite out of the top 5. The number 2, which is just blasphemy to me, number 4 out of 5 is Super Mario 64 at 5 points because
I screwed you over on that one.
You did. You ranked it. Number 5 ranking just ruined it. Number three overall is Smash with 6 points.
That's fair.
Number two overall is GoldenEye with 7 points. And number one overall is Ocarina of Time with 8 points.
Damn right it is.
So that screwed is you over the on overall. That one, buddy. So our ranking of the top five best-selling N64 games, the final one is number five, Mario Kart 64, number four, Super Mario 64, number three, Super Smash Bros., number two, GoldenEye, and number one, Ocarina of Time. So there we go.
Number one N64 game of all time, in our opinion, is Ocarina of Time.
Yes, by collective numbers.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, we are low on time, so let's do our plugs now. Where can the good people find you on the good interwebs, my good sir?
So you can find me for listeners of the Solo Nerding Podcast. Thank you guys very much for the hospitality and having me on, and thank you guys so much for supporting my buddy Josh. And Josh, thank you of course for having me on. It was always a pleasure to do these retrospectives with you. Find me The Harder Show wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Castbox, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever, Instagram, Facebook at The Harder Show, and then of course Gmail at theharder show@gmail.com. And yeah, and Josh, be sure to get your plugs in, because when I steal this episode from you, we will.
Well, I always do my own plugs, even on my own show.
Oh, so. For sure. Yeah. So yeah, but yeah. Make sure you can find Josh everywhere.
Okay. Well, I thought I'd be like,
give me some plugs. Come on, man. Give me some plugs.
So you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. I like talking to fans or friends, and just feel free to email me. You can check out my website, stillloadingpodcast.com. Also, I keep forgetting to fucking plug this. I have a merch site. You can go to you can look for Still Loading merch on TeePublic. I'll include a link in the description because I forget the actual URL off the top of my head. But you can go there. And the most important shout out I have, of course, is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to consider supporting, go to bitbybitfoundation.com. I felt a burp coming, and I'm like, I'm trying to hold it in to get out the plug, and it just didn't make it. So if you want to support them, though, go to bitbybitfoundation.com and consider donating. And that will do it. It was a fun retrospective.
Yeah, man.
2020 is over. I mean, well, we still got a month left after we're done recording this. But
2020 is not actually over yet. But well you know, I'm glad that we were able to do this. Thank you very much for doing this retrospective with me, Josh. And you know, it's always fun getting to chat with you and getting to hang with you. And one other goal I have for 2020 is to have Josh back on the Harder Show for something else.
That'll be fun, man. I'll gladly come on.
It's definitely a goal.
And that will do it for this episode. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, TJ, for joining me.
My pleasure.
And I will see you all next time.
Hey, Josh. Hey, big boy. I don't know if you're going to see this, but my light just fell over. I was trying to seduce you. Oh, fuck. Hang on. Oh, shit. There we go. Steve Malenko, legendary professional wrestler. What else do I got over here? I'm not going to try and seduce you anymore. Got my picture of Sam and I, of course. Jay Bridges Larch, Mean Beard, Uncle Woe, CD, Clint Lowry's Hollow Demons Meet Skeletons lyric book, Austin Chains Dirt. Cats are over there. And yeah, that's about it. So.